Good morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Some of you are thinking that I forgot, and I didn't forget. Today is moving day, okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to get up and to move to a different location and to sit by someone different. Now, a few exceptions. Family units are welcome to stay together, okay? So if you have a 18-month-old, they do not have to sit by themselves next to a stranger, okay? If you are absolutely physically incapable to move, I'm going to give you a pass, okay? And I'm not meaning this in a disrespectful way. If you came in here and you didn't require a lot of assistance, then I'm going to ask you to be brave and not hate me forever, and I'm going to ask you to move. But if you're really physically incapable, you don't have to move, okay? But otherwise, you got to move, okay? Attitude is not a reason not to move, okay? Comfort is not a reason not to move, okay? And if you're thinking, is he trying to make us uncomfortable on purpose? Why did he not tell Patrick to tell us to remain standing? I am doing this on purpose to make you uncomfortable, okay? So everyone stand up and let's move to a different area. All right. You may need to scrunch a little bit No, stay right there. All right, a few observations. First, if you're on the praise team, I do need you to be back over here with your microphone by the end of the sermon, okay? Second, I have not failed to notice that Micah Morris, who is an expert in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, is now within striking distance, okay? And we have these fine people right here who are here to make all of us uncomfortable for the next little while. Thank you. No, but seriously, go sit down. Go sit somewhere else. There you go. All right. Well done. If you didn't move and you had a good reason, I still noticed that you didn't move. I just wanted you to know that. Nobody makes Jimmy Carter move, though. I'm just saying. Well, what we do physically actually really does matter. And sometimes it's a good reminder, when, especially we're thinking about the way that Jesus invites us to live in the Sermon on the Mount, his greatest teaching, the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. When Jesus preaches the sermon, he expects people's lives to be changed. And although getting up and moving to a different place than where you normally sit may not be very uncomfortable for some of you, it may be more uncomfortable for others, but I fear that for too long and in too many churches, well-meaning people who are disciples of Jesus have gotten comfortable. And this sermon makes us uncomfortable, right? I know many of you read the sermon this week. And as you read the sermon, if you don't get uncomfortable, I'm just going to say you're probably reading it wrong. Someone somewhere along the way probably gave you a list of excuses that you downloaded into your interpretation about the sermon. And if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, you're probably reading it wrong. It makes me uncomfortable. And the invitation is to embrace that discomfort and to be changed by Jesus. Not in superficial ways like moving seats, but letting him move our very hearts. And so that's the hope as we began this series, Dust, last week, and the idea of being covered in the dust of our rabbi as we follow him, as we learn to do what he does, as we learn to be like Jesus. And so I hope that you'll embrace this journey with us as we seek to follow him. And for those of you who are a little angry with me that I made you move, I'm going to make it up to you and show you this clip from The Lion King. That'll make it all better. So let's watch this clip. One of the greatest openings to a Disney film ever, am I right? Love that. This story begins in a certain way. Simba, the lion cub, is given a name and he's lifted up. Before anything else happens in the story, he's given an identity that will carry him through and will go deeper than any of his failures or decisions or disappointments. Before anything else is true of him, he is Simba. He is the son of the king, and he's lifted up as a blessing. Now, if you're like me and you're a parent, you probably have a little bit of regret that you didn't go a little bit more Lion King at the birth of your child, right? Dads? Now, I was blessed. Our physician allowed me to catch Grayson when he was born, and that was an amazing honor. And I caught him, and I wasn't thinking about the Lion King in that moment. I was thinking so many things. But there's a part of me that wished that I had gone a little more Lion King on Grayson. But what if? What if in that moment when I caught him, that I held him right here, and out of my back pocket I pulled a packet of papers? And the packet of papers unfolds to the floor. And on it, in 6-point font, is a list of hundreds and thousands of rules. And I said, now, Grayson, before you receive my blessing, these are the rules. Rule number one, you will not take the car without permission. Rule number two, the remote is mine. Rule number three, you will train up and learn the ways of the lawnmower as quickly as possible. Now, that would make me, at best, a little silly, and at worst, a total psychopath. We don't begin our children's lives that way by giving them a list of rules. We just don't. We start with names and identities and blessings, right? That's what we do. We lift them up. And although it might not be like the Lion King, we lift up our children. We take them in our arms and we speak over them words of love and acceptance. You are my son. You are my daughter. This is your name and I love you. And maybe you have a special ceremony. Maybe you bring your child like so many of us have done and you have a blessing in our church service and we say that we commit this child to the Lord. Imagine how different Grayson's life would be if he were to go through life thinking that when it comes to his daddy, he had to get things right before he could be in relationship with me. How different would his life be than if he lived out of a place of blessing? And yet, isn't that how many of us live our lives? We know what it's like to go through life feeling like we have to perform in order to matter. We have to get it right before we belong. Not with my boy. I started with unconditional love, acceptance, and blessing. Before I uttered a single expectation of him, I spoke a blessing over him. And that's exactly where Jesus starts. He will make demands of us in this sermon. Don't hesitate to think that that's true. He will make demands of our lives as he invites us to become fully human in ways that we haven't been living as full human beings. But before he starts with that, before he stretches us to our limits and beyond, before he does that, he begins his most important teaching with not commands, but with blessings. Before he utters a single expectation of us, he speaks God's blessing, his irrevocable blessing, into our lives. Let's read the beginning of the sermon from Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Who is the blessing for? Well, if you had lived during that time and you were a Jewish person, you would have understood, it would have been made clear to you in several ways for generation after generation through religious teachers and through family and social structures that God blesses a certain kind of person. And in that culture, typically the expectation for who got blessed was this: if you're Jewish, you're blessed. If you're not, you're not. If you're male, The blessing of God is for you. Adult male, to be specific. If you're a child or a woman or a slave or an outsider, blessing is not for you. The morally upright and the righteous, those who are able to follow the commands of God, those people are under God's blessing. The healthy, those who aren't sick, those who are whole of body and mind, they are under God's blessing. And the wealthy, those who succeed in life, who are winners, they are under God's blessing. And we think, well, how could they have missed it? How could they not have known that God might include other people? And then we look around at our world and the way that we view other people. And who are those considered to be the winners? It's the healthy, the wealthy, those who won the moral lot, or the genetic lottery, those who are moral and upright, the people who've got their act together, the people who are doing life the right way, who are successful. Those are the people, surely, that God's blessing is on. So who's the blessing for? They would have certainly anticipated that Jesus, as a religious teacher, would have stayed with the typical teaching. But if you back up a few verses to Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23, you see that this group of people that he's talking to is anything but exclusively Jewish and male and morally and religiously upright and healthy and wealthy. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If you were sick, it was assumed that you did something to deserve God's punishment and discipline. If you were poor, it was assumed that you deserved to be poor, either because of lack of moral fortitude and uprightness, or just because you had made poor decisions and weren't a wise person. And all of these other things that are described, these people are not the winners. They're the losers. They're not just Jewish people either. If you read where they come from the region across the Jordan and from the Decapolis. The Decapolis was an area of 10 Greek cities on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Gentile country, not Jewish people. These are outsiders. These aren't the people who fit all the criteria for God's blessing. They're sick, they're demon-possessed. These are the losers, the poor in spirit. And Jesus announces that God's kingdom, God's inbreaking reign, what God plans to do in the world to rescue and redeem and restore, what Jesus announces, even now is starting to happen. God is going to put the world back together again. And these are the people who get to be part of it. And it's not the people that you would expect. The poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, those who are persecuted. I want to explore this term, poor in spirit, for a moment. There was a Hebrew word, the word anawim, and you may have heard this teaching before. This word anawim is synonymous with this idea of being poor in spirit, and this was a category of people. To be called Anoim was not a compliment. When the Babylonians had come through 600 years before the time of Christ and had destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah and had destroyed the city of Jerusalem, they burned the temple of the Lord to the ground. They knocked down the walls of the city. They burned the houses. They burned the vineyards. And they killed the army and they took off into captivity people to serve in their royal court in Babylon. They took the young, the beautiful, the talented, those who were useful, the strong, those who had gifts and skills to contribute to the empire. And the rest they left behind in the ruins, in the dirt and in the rubble to try to scrounge some sort of life moving forward. Maybe you've never been insulted like that before, but it's quite an insult when someone comes in and destroys your nation and carries people off into captivity and says, except you, we don't really have a use for you. You're old. You're weak. You don't have the skills we want. You're ugly. You're not successful. You're not a big deal. You can stay. And those people were called, they came to be known as the Anoim, the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is to be a loser. It is a person who is at the end of their rope. Author Dallas Willard says that the poor in spirit, he calls them the spiritual zeros. The spiritually bankrupt, the pathetic, the lame, the out of it, those without a trace of good or hope, the morally empty, those who feel like they aren't good enough for God, the screw-ups, those who don't have their stuff together, those beat down by life in this world. Anoim, poor in spirit. Jesus' announcement turns all of this upside down. And he invites those who would have been considered to be on the outside of God's blessing, the poor, the sick, the losers, the spiritual zeros, those who don't have their act together, those who can't do things the right way, those who have made a mess of their lives, those who just can't seem to hold everything together the way everyone else can. Jesus turns the blessing of the kingdom on its head and he says, if that's you, if you're poor in spirit, if you're Anoim, then God's blessing, God's kingdom is for you. It's important for us not to turn this into a checklist for how to get God to bless us. You may have been like me, and growing up, you may have heard a lot of messages that's what the meaning is of these statements. That if you want to be blessed by God, if you want to be favored by God, if you want God to value you, to favor you, then you've got to do these things. You've got to become these things. And so maybe we heard a lot of lessons about you better be poor in spirit. You better be persecuted. If you're not persecuted, you better be persecuted if you want to be under God's blessing. You better be meek. You better mourn. I need to see more mourning. If I'm going to bless you, it's important for us not to spiritualize this list and turn it into a religious checklist, as if Jesus is saying that that's the way to get God's blessing, is to be this way. If that's the case, it wouldn't have been good news to any of the people who heard Jesus' sermon. Have you thought about that? These people, they're demon-possessed, poor, sick, chronically ill, mentally ill, starving, women and children and men, foreigners, isolated, beat down by life. And they start following Jesus because they hear in him an invitation, something special, something new, something refreshing, something that they hear and that they would call good news. And so when Jesus begins his most important teaching and he said, here's all of the people who are blessed in God's eyes, I would imagine that those hearing would say, okay, here we go. Here's where the rabbi is going to tell us how bad we are and how we ought to be more like the religious people. And Jesus says, if you're poor in spirit, the kingdom of God is for you. Even if you're overwhelmed by the sadness of life in this world, those who mourn, today, this very day, God's blessing is on you. You will be comforted in his kingdom. Even if you're the kind of person who doesn't stand up for yourself or assert your rights, if you're meek, God's blessing is on you. You know what this word meek means? And I'm not picking on anybody here, I don't want to get political, but I think we could maybe all agree that the antithesis to meek is Donald Trump. His philosophy of life, and he's admired for this mostly, is you got to go out and grab life by the horns, right? You got to wrestle life to the ground. You got to make life submit to you and do what you say. You got to go out there and seize the opportunity. If there are 10 pieces of pie and there are 11 people, then go in there and grab the whole pie and punch everybody in the face and run out. Because that's what you do. And if you don't do that, then somebody else will, and then you won't get any pie. That's the philosophy of our culture and of our world. You got to go out there. You have to seize the day. You have to get what's yours. And if you don't take it, then someone else will. And that's the way it typically works, isn't it? You don't seize the opportunity, somebody else will. And then where are you? You're left watching life pass you by. And Jesus isn't so much saying everybody should be a little more meek. He's saying for those of you who are meek, for those of you who don't live that way or can't live that way, who don't seize life, and it looks like everyone else is getting ahead and you're just being left behind, then today hear the good news that in God's kingdom, today, even this very day, you are blessed by God. And what does he tell them is going to happen? Blessed are the meek, for they will sit in the corner and not bother anybody and be real quiet. They will inherit the earth. Jesus says, in God's kingdom, the Donald Trumps of the world don't win. They don't get everything in the end. Those who are more powerful, those who are wealthier, those who use their means to get what they want, they're not the ones who in God's kingdom end up winning in the end. It's those who refused or were unable to live that way. Those who are weak, those who are maybe even passive, those who the world will look at and say, those aren't the people who really get all the good things in life. And Jesus says, you're blessed today. God's blessing is on you. He says, if you're fed up with the injustice of the world and your heart is broken when you see the news and you see all the violence and all the injustice and all of the human trafficking and racism and all the things in our world that are not part of the world that God intended, and you see all that and it breaks your heart and you just maybe just cannot stand it anymore and you just feel like you have to turn the news off or not read the paper anymore because you're just so beat down by discouragement and you hunger and thirst, you long for God to make the world right. Jesus says that's a person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, not just personal morality, but God's righteousness, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says, for those who hunger and thirst, you will be filled. And today, you're blessed. For those who are merciful, maybe you're always giving to others. Maybe you're easily taken advantage of because you're slow to anger and you're merciful. God's blessing is on you. If you're concerned with having a clear conscience, so much so that those around you may consider you to be a prude, Jesus calls that kind of person pure in heart. And he says that you're blessed and that you're going to see God. Even if you're always trying to pacify others and care more about diffusing conflict than any other objective, if you're a peacemaker, Jesus says you'll be called a child of God. And even if your convictions and actions get you in constant trouble with those who make up the rules, if you're persecuted, you need to know that you're blessed. You're blessed. God's favor is on you. There's two kinds of ways to talk about being blessed. One is the health and wealth gospel preaching kind of way that the blessing is material things and all your dreams coming true. And I don't think that that's what Jesus means here. I think that when Jesus talks about the blessing of God, he's not talking about stuff. He's not talking about things that we want. He's not even talking about our hopes and dreams and our plans for our life. He's talking about the favor and grace of God, of being acceptable in God's sight. He's talking about this word here literally means happy or fortunate. How happy and fortunate are those who mourn? For they, in God's kingdom, they will be comforted. How blessed when you're meek, when you're poor in spirit. Be happy because God's with you. And I don't think when he says be happy, he means just put on a smiley face and just pick yourself up, go read a self-help book and maybe put a unicorn decal in the back window of your car and we'll just rainbows and Skittles and everything's great. I don't think that's what he means by consider yourself blessed and happy. I think he means take deep joy knowing that God is on your side. He's with you. He has not abandoned you. He is not going to let you down in spite of what your circumstances might look like, in spite of how it might feel that you feel lost and alone and like you don't measure up, like the whole world is passing you by, like those who are evil are the ones that are winning. Although the whole world seems to be spiraling out of control and your heart is broken and you long for God to make it right and you feel beat down and discouraged, know today, Jesus says, know in your heart that you are blessed, that God is on your side. He's in your corner. He loves you, and his blessing is on you today. Not later when you get your act together. Not later when the good guys rid the world of evil. Not later when you get what's coming to you. Not later when your circumstances improve. Right now, today, here and now, you are blessed by God. That's good news. Because if we're honest, if we turn this into a list of spiritual hoops for super spiritual people to jump through to get God's blessing, we're all disqualified. So the good news today is that God is with you. He's on your side. If you're a college student and you're struggling, maybe you've made some decisions recently in your life and you've done some things that you never thought you would do and you're filled with shame and regret. And you think that if you could just get your act together, if you could just pull everything back together, that you could make things right, but you're not there yet. Hear the good news of God today that right now, Jesus is with you. You're blessed. God looks on you with favor. Not because you've done everything the right way, but because you are his child and he loves you. God is on your side. Maybe you're not sure about all this. Maybe you have some doubts and some questions. Maybe some of this doesn't make sense to you. Maybe you've believed in the past, but there are some beliefs that you held that no longer work for the experience of life that you've had in the world. Maybe you're ready to give up and walk out. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe someone has told you that you have to get all of those things, all those thoughts, all those feelings ironed out in order to stay. And if that's where you are today, then know this. God is in your corner. He's on your side. And he's not walking away from you. So don't you walk away from him. Right now, you're living under his blessing. Maybe you're one of the several people in our church family who are single. Perhaps you've been told that the fullest life possible is one that's lived out in a romantic relationship. Maybe you've been given the impression that your life hasn't really started yet because you haven't met that special person. Or worse, that you're not yet fully human because you're not in a relationship. Maybe you're thinking, if I could just find that person, then life would be right, life could begin. If that's you, then hear the good news today. God's blessing is for you. He's on your side. He's in your corner. And right now, today, he sees you as fully human and fully one of his children. And no other person can change that or take away from that. Because God's on your side. Maybe you've been wanting to start a family, and maybe you and your spouse have been trying to have children, and maybe your heart's broken. Maybe you've been told that your life experience of God can't be full until you have kids. Maybe you're just longing and hoping that God will act in the future, and maybe it feels impossible to believe that right now, in the midst of all those feelings, in the waiting and in the darkness you feel right now, God is on your side. He's in your corner, and you live under his blessing today. Maybe you're sick or ill. Maybe you experience chronic pain. Maybe you suffer from a biological chemical imbalance that's been diagnosed as some form of mental illness. Maybe somewhere along the way, someone has communicated to you that if you just had more faith, then you would get better, feel better, and be better. And maybe this has made you feel like you just don't love God enough, or you don't trust enough, or there's some sort of secret code that everyone else seems to have unlocked and you haven't. Maybe you're discouraged today. Know that you are not under a curse. You're under the blessing of God. Because Jesus has said so. And in spite of the difficulties that you face, you're not alone. You're part of God's story. Maybe you're broken. And you feel like everyone around you has their act together. Maybe you've wondered why your life doesn't turn out the way that you hoped when everyone else seems to be joyful. Maybe you aren't willing to share your hurt or struggle or disappointment with those around you in this church family because we've all bought into the lie that this is a place for happy people who have it all together. And if that's where you are today, then you should know that the blessing of God isn't something that's being withheld until you figure all this out and get your life in line. Right now, today, God's with you. He's on your side. He looks at you and speaks his favor over you. For all who are thirsty and weak, hear the good news of God today. God looks at you and he sees you as his beloved child. And he takes you in his arms and he lifts you up and the clouds part and the light comes down. And the heavenly chorus cheers because you are his daughter. You are his son. And there's nothing in life that can change that. No circumstance, no disease, no mistake, no decision that can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth, neither anything in the future nor in the past. Nothing across the ocean or in the sky, nothing even within your own heart can separate you from God's love. His favor is on you. You are blessed. He's on your side right now, today. And so receive the mercy and grace of God because he raises you up. You are his child. And he loves you today, right where you are. Because he's on your side. And because he says that today, this very day, you're blessed. The blessing is not for tomorrow when you get the job. The blessing is not for decades from now when the morning hurts a little less than it does today. The blessing is not after you do the Bible study and you make the life change and you get your act together and you get everything in line and you look a little bit more like him. The blessing isn't for then. It's for right now, this very moment. So if you've been hanging back and you've been sitting on the fence and you've been leaning back over here saying, I just can't really be part of this because I'm not qualified, because I don't have my act together, because my life is a mess, because I wake up every morning and think, oh, I have to do it all over again, because I go to bed every night in tears and I just don't have it all together yet and I just don't think that I could come to God in this condition. All of the excuses, they're all up. They're no good. He says, there's no reason not to come to me today, right now, because you're blessed and I love you. I want to invite us to stand. And we're going to sing this song, Come, Lord Jesus, Come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain of life. If you have a need at all, I want to invite you to come. Our elders and shepherds, our ministers are going to be in the aisles. If you have a need, maybe you're broken today, maybe you're in need of a blessing, I want to invite you to come and to receive the blessing of Jesus, who blesses us all today. Let's sing.